Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show goes now. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Grave, Alonzo, Andy, you're rolling all the way up for two more hours. The four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment underway now. I am Rob. He is Alonzo. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Tom Allen is the new defensive coordinator for the Clemson Tigers. Picked up after he took the Tigers, the Nittany Lions. He goes from the Lions to the Tigers. If he's in Chicago next year, he'd be the DC of the Bears. Oh, my.
I think we all know the real reason why he was hired, and people are just not saying it.
And that is?
Clemson couldn't get past the mighty South Carolina Gamecocks, so they had to bring in somebody. So the Gamecocks got someone else fired. This time, it was a defensive coordinator for Clemson. So Clemson had, how can we counter the offense, Lenore Sellers and that offense for the South Carolina Gamecocks? We got to bring somebody else in. So that's the real reason why he got hired. Good luck.
Here's the fun part about that, great one. Despite your superhuman levels of sarcasm there, I actually don't think you're all that wrong, honestly. I really don't think you're all that wrong. I think South Carolina, and then obviously what happened against Texas, which was bad, and SMU wedged in the middle. Because you won the ACC title game. That's why you were in the playoff in a position to get blown out by Texas. But Kevin Jennings damn near won SMU that game. And if SMU's kickoff unit didn't stink, and if their defensive backs didn't stink, they probably win that game. Or at the very worst, take it to overtime with all the Momo on their side. I think between Lenore Sellers, Kevin Jennings, and 292 rushing yards in the Texas game allowed. I think when you stack all those things up together on top of each other, I actually think that is the reason Tom Allen is here. I know it's the reason Wes Goodwin is gone. I think it is the reason Tom Allen is there. Because, as we talked earlier, Tom Allen plays a 4-2-5 style defense. Effectively, he runs a nickel base, but he will frequently walk up a nickel defender as an outside stand-up edge rusher. Doesn't mean he's going to rush every time. Doesn't mean he's going to blitz every time. Quite the opposite. They disguise on one side or the other what that player is doing, right? Is he walked up to man the tight end? Is he walked up to level out the numbers? Is he walked up on the weak side to try to bring a blitz from that side? Is he going to drop off into a shallow zone and a linebacker's going to drop back? Is he just going to turn and boot scoot into the defensive backfield? There's options here. And that is something that when a quarterback takes a snap, that is something that is going to add an extra half a second to the processing time. And when you play in aggressive forward pushing defense, like Tom Allen ran during his time at Penn State, that got Penn State into the college football playoff semifinals, but then they didn't do in the second half. That's what Clemson needs. And for the record, they've got the talent on defense, Clemson does. They've got the dogs on defense. I just think last year, Joey B is in the chat, and he and I have had this conversation a number of times. We had it after the South Carolina game. We had it after the ACC title game, which was 2 years ago, by the way. And we had it after the Texas game. For whatever reason, Wes Goodwin just loved to fall off into this soft zone. He just loved to fall off into this soft zone. You got dogs. You got horses. Turn them loose. Let him pin the ears back. Let him go get it. And you kind of fell off of that. You kind of stopped. Tom Allen's the opposite. Tom Allen is YOLOing dudes into the backfield. Straight up, full tilt, yeet, into the backfield. And to me, Clemson has the horses to run that style of defense. Now, follow me on this one. Clemson, I think, great one, ought to be hoping that the narrative about James Franklin is correct. Clemson ought to be hoping that the narrative around James Franklin is correct, that he is a coach who falls apart when the pressure cooker gets cranked to 20. Why? Because what I would like to hope, would not guarantee, but would like to hope, is that the reason Penn State, I brought this up a couple of times, I brought it up to Denton Day, and he said he agrees with me, and if Denton Day agrees with me, it's because I'm right. I would like to hope, think, believe, whatever you want to say, that the reason that Penn State gave up 100 yards in the first half and then 261 yards in the second half, not in the game, in the second half, Penn State was giving up, including their highlight games throughout the season, an average of 268 yards per game. They gave up 261 in the second half to Notre Dame. That is because their defensive philosophy suddenly shifted. I told you that when we talked about that game after the semifinal conclusion. For whatever reason, in the first half, Penn State was throwing dudes at Riley Leonard. Jeremiah Love could not get going because Penn State was throwing dudes at the playmakers. They threw dudes in game one at Kevin Jennings. They threw dudes in game two at Ashton Janty. Both of those guys had the worst performances of the season. Kevin Jennings, the guy that single-handedly got SMU back into that game against Clemson in the ACC title matchup, disappeared. Ashton Janty, second place, runner-up in the Heisman Trophy finalist, a guy that had been grabbing like 190-ish yards per game, had 103. And it took him 30 carries to get to. Guy was averaging, I'm bad at math, but what's that, 3 yards a carry? A dude that was coming into this, getting a buck 90 on 23, 24 carries a game, suddenly takes 30 to get to 103 yards. Why? Because Penn State said, we're going to seek out the playmaker. We are going to just send dudes after him and say, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us somewhere else, right? If you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us somewhere else. And nobody could. And then we got to the second half of the Notre Dame game. And all of a sudden, that defensive principle of, we know who your playmakers are. You know who your playmakers are. We're going to take our playmakers. We're going to lock them on your playmakers. And we're going to see who's everybody else is better. How many college teams win and lose games because they lean heavily on their superstar? Or superstars, if they're lucky enough to have a few of them. I would say most college teams, right? Like most college teams. So what Penn State says is we're going to take the Abdul Carters of the world and we are going to lock down your playmakers. We're going to remove them from the football field. We're playing chess here. We are going to lock these dudes down on you. And we are going to prevent you from allowing them to do anything. And those two teams couldn't answer the bell. In the first half, Notre Dame could not answer the bell. And then the second half happened and he pulled back. So, circle back around to the beginning of this. Why did I say that Clemson ought to hope that the narrative about James Franklin is correct? Because if James Franklin is the reason that the defensive philosophy shifted, and Tom Allen gets credit for the regular season defense of Penn State, for the defense of Penn State in the SMU game, for the defense of Penn State in the Boise State game, for the defense of Penn State in the first half of the Notre Dame game, then I think that you have got a defensive coordinator that gets it. And when I look at the ACC next year, a lot of these teams are going to be teams that are going to be leaning heavily on one superstar. And Tom Allen has showed he understands how to scheme up a defense to stop them from doing that, to prevent them from doing that. And if that's the case, you got a good one. But if it was Tom Allen's decision to walk the Penn State defense off against Riley Leonard and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish in the second half and allow them to get back into their rhythm, their routine, allow them to do the things that they want to do the way that they want to do them. If that was Tom Allen's decision, then I will tell you, I am now a bit apprehensive. I am now a bit nervous. I am now a bit concerned that, hey, we got the horses, but if we're not going to use them, what's the point here, right? Where do we go from there? So I want to be clear. I like the hire. I like the hire. I like the pickup. From everything I've read, we just had Denton Day on from SiriusXM. He used to host on the Big Ten radio network, said he has had multiple conversations with Tom Allen. And Tom Allen's a dude, right? I didn't know this. This was breaking news from Denton Day. But Denton Day said when Tom Allen was the head coach at Indiana and the Liberty Flames job came open, apparently Tom Allen reached out to Liberty. Why would Tom Allen reach out to Liberty? He's not making more money there. He's not getting better recruits there. He's not going to the college football playoffs there. So why would he reach out to the Liberty Flames? There is only one answer to that question, and it is culture. Right? Just like we have the three C's of recruiting. When a kid comes out of high school, I've told you over and over, there's three C's a college, a university, a school, a football team has to take advantage of. Coach, cash, culture. You got to have two of those three to hook a kid. You either got to have a good NIL deal, like other schools do, and then he attaches to either the coach or the culture, or you got to have a coach that the kid likes, who built up a culture that the kid likes. And then the cash comes second place. Well, coaches, when they are going to jump to a new school, they've got their own list of priorities. I think it's a lot more extensive than I can boil the high school recruiting down to. But amongst those variables are what? Amongst those variables are path to a national championship, path for upward motivation, access to recruits and great players. And this one may shock you, money is kind of a big one to most coaches. So why would he leave a Big Ten institution like Indiana, not a big institution, but a Big Ten institution like Indiana, and ask to move over to Liberty to coach the Flames? The answer is the culture. Liberty is a private Christian institution that has a very unique and individual culture. And if Tom Allen saw that, as Denton Day said earlier, if Tom Allen saw that and said, that's the kind of atmosphere that I want to coach in, that's the type of environment that I want to coach in, and that's the type of school that I want to coach for, let's call it what it is. The closest you are going to get to that without coaching at a private Christian institution is coaching for Dabo Swinney, right? I would challenge anybody. There are other coaches that are, you know, open about their faith and their wholesome family culture and all that. But as somebody who's been around, I don't know that anybody makes it a part of the football institution quite like Dabo and Clemson do. There is a reason that a large swath of the country outside of the upstate of South Carolina believes that your coach is kind of hokey and corny. That's part of it. Again, if I'm you, I don't care. Not in the least. But if Tom Allen's the type of dude that was willing to leave Indiana as the HC to move over to Liberty to be the HC. You ask why a lateral move from Penn State to Clemson? I got answers. I don't know if any of them are true or which combination of them are true, but I got answers. You ask me why a guy would leave Indiana to go be the head coach at Liberty, a lateral job? Actually, that is a step down. Indiana to Liberty is a bigger step backwards than Penn State to Clemson is, right? Does anybody disagree with that? I don't think so. If a guy would leave Indiana to go to Liberty, as Denton Day claims Tom Allen was interested in doing, there is one reason and one reason alone. Culture. He liked the culture at Liberty. He liked the private Christian institution culture, and he wants to be there. Now, if you want to coach at a Power 5 level or a Power 4 level, if you want to coach a team that has access to, legitimately, the playoffs, if you want to coach a team that has talent at a top-tier level, and you're the type of guy who would leave Indiana to go to the Liberty Flames, Clemson's the destination, dude. So, what I'm hoping for here, if I am a Clemson Tiger fan, is what? I am hoping that the reason Penn State, in the loss to Notre Dame, the reason that the philosophy defensively of Penn State flipped was because James Franklin got on the horn and went, "Yo, Tommy boy, I want you to play more conservative in the second half. I want you to pull off in the second half. That stand-up edge rusher, I don't want him blitzing. We're going to try to win with just four. We're going to try to win with four down linemen and three backers. We're going to go back to a 4-3. That edge rusher is going to take a step back and play a traditional strong or weak side backer. We're going to pull off." And Tom Allen went, "Whatever you say, boss," right? If Tom Allen made that shift, I'm a lot less excited about this hire for Clemson than I was yesterday. If it was James Franklin that made that shift, because the narrative is true and James Franklin clinches up tight enough to make a diamond in second half of tough games, I'm still excited about the Tom Allen hire for Clemson. I think it's a good one. Joy B said, getting to coach Peter Woods, TJ Parker, Sammy Brown, Avion Terrell, Jaden Lucas, and Khalil Burns doesn't help. Doesn't hurt. I agree. Penn State's got dogs too. I would say Clemson probably has more unpolished talent than PSU does. All right, we'll talk more about this later in the show. We got to take a break. Rob Alonso, you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference, According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Rob Brown Show back on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. That is the text line and the call-in line, 844-326-3663. Send your text to the show. We'll read them on the air, by the way. You do not need to start your text with fan, F-A-N, anymore. You do not need to start your text with fan. Now that we have our own isolated number, you can send them straight away without the keyword.
If you do, we're not going to be critical of you because it's a habit. You're used to doing it, so you can just slowly back away from it.
It's been 2 weeks. Like, get it together. Get it together.
How quickly do you adjust to change like that?
It only took me till January 14th to correctly write the year. So
it's 2 weeks. Not
two
bad.
Weeks. You know, 2 weeks. Also, by the way, I don't know why this is, but when I go type in the address to go to the Ray Memorial Hotline, it is now labeled the Ray Memorial Hotline. I didn't do that, just so we're clear. When I went to type in Ray Memorial Hotline, it just went there, which is awesome. The Ray Memorial Hotline is open. Go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Go to the Fan Upstate page, and I need you to do two things. The numero uno at the top, you're going to see a little heart button. Aw. Click on that little heart button and save the Fan Upstate. That way, when you open the Audacy app, it goes straight there. Number two, at the top in the middle of the page is a big rectangular but with rounded corners buttons. That button says, leave a voice message. I want you to click that button, and I want you to leave us a voice message up to 60 seconds in length, okay? Go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, go to the Fan Upstate page, click on the leave a voice message button, and leave us a voice message. You get up to 60 seconds, it comes straight to Zoe and I. We have gotten one already this morning from Kane out in Liberty. I will take a listen to that during the break to make sure it's radio friendly. I mean, Kane sent us like five, and they haven't been radio unfriendly.
Real Kane, Blue Kane, which Kane?
Regular Kane.
Oh, just Kane.
Kane with a C. Okay. Yeah. Right. Kane, not Glenn Jacobs Kane.
Oh, that Kane.
Do we YOLO it? Do we just go for it? Do we trust Kane?
No,
here?
We do not.
I trust you, Kane, but Lonzo doesn't.
I trust no one.
That's fair. That's very fair. Go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, leave us a message. Let's take a look at this. The National Football League draft is just a couple of weeks away. The odds on favorite to be the number one overall draft selection, Lonzo, was Shedeur Sanders. He opened at 3-1. The next closest was Miami quarterback Cam Ward at 4.5-1. Third was Travis Hunter at 7.5-1. Nobody else was closer than 14-1 to be the first overall NFL draft pick. Those odds have dramatically changed. According to BetMGM, Zoe, of the players mentioned, which one do you think has the shortest odds of being the number one overall draft selection?
If we're being realistic, it should be Travis Hunter.
You would think so. Not only is it not him, he is a distant third place. A distant third place. He opened at 7.5-1. He is now 11 2-1 to be the number one overall draft pick. There is one player on the board that has a minus money number to be the number one overall draft pick. It is Miami's Cam Ward. Cam Ward is minus 135 to be the pick. Shedeur Sanders is plus 120. Travis Hunter, I lied. I said it was 11-1. Travis Hunter's numbers, because I just saw the updated numbers. Travis Hunter's updated numbers, Lonzo, plus 1,400. He is 14-1 to be the number one overall pick. Shedeur, plus 120. Cam Ward, minus 135.
All right, so who's picking number one again? Indy?
The number one overall draft pick this year belong. Oh God, I just blanked on my entire draft order. It's Tennessee because they got Will Levis.
Yeah, but they're not taking a quarterback. They're not. I mean, Will Levis has been there what, 2 years?
Yeah,
yeah. They're not taking.
Oh,
a quarterback.
I agree with that for the record.
Yeah, Travis Hunter's going number one. So it's. I mean,
I don't agree with that
unless they trade out.
That's the way.
I mean, that's the only way. If they stay where they are, they got to go Travis Hunter.
I'll tell you what this number tells me. I'll tell you what. Now, I will acknowledge that. It is quite possible, because I'm not giving up on Will Levis. I think Will Levis can have a BY breakthrough. I think Will Levis can be that dude.
You know what helps Will Levis? Travis Hunter.
I think that Will Levis could have a Bryce Young-like breakthrough in year three.
Except with wins, hopefully, if you're an Indy fan.
An upward trajectory because wins and losses are not a quarterback stat.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm going to tattoo that on my... I got my dad's handwriting on my left arm. I'm going to tattoo wins and losses are not a quarterback stat on my right arm.
You're not going to convince people who you can't convince, like is a good portion of the people.
You.
Yeah, well, I'm a representative of a good portion of the people.
For sure. He is indeed a man of the people. Here's how this plays out to me. I think Will Levis can still go. I think Will Levis can be that guy. What I think is going to end up playing out, I have two possibilities. The first is the please let it happen, please let it happen, please let it happen, please let it happen scenario. That is, Tennessee announces they're willing to trade out of the number one overall. The Dallas Cowboys throw their entire draft at Tennessee in order to draft Shedeur Sanders first overall in order to get Deion Sanders to come be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think that's happening. The more I thought about it yesterday, the more I don't think that's going to happen. The second possibility is Tennessee says the number one pick is up and somebody overpays to go get number one. Because, as I pointed out yesterday, there are two quarterbacks in this draft that I think are genuine first round prospects. Shedeur and Cam Ward. That's it. To me, the next best quarterback on the board is probably Jackson Dart, the young man out of Ole Miss. I think Jackson Dart's current odds to come off the board as the number one overall pick, his current odds are 50-1 to be the number one overall pick. It's not happening. But I think Jackson Dart could be a respectable developmental pick. I think Jackson Dart, you know what I do with Jackson Dart, Lonzo? I draft Jackson Dart if I am, hell, Kansas City. I think you could describe him as having a play style similar to Mahomes. He would prefer to stand in the pocket and deliver the football down the field. But he's got the ability to improvise, scramble, and make some ridiculous off-platform throws if necessary. And I can sit him behind Mahomes for 2 or 3 or 4 years and work this guy, develop this guy within the Andy Reid system so that if, and I don't know that this is going to be the case, but if 2 or 3 years from now, Mahomes wins 2-3 more rings and goes, that's it, I'm going home to Britt and my army of children, I'm out, you got a guy.
Who's the quarterback in Nebraska? Who's the guy who tries to act like he's Patrick Mahomes? That's the next quarterback for that they're drafting. That way, if they need a body double to go in there every once in a while, they throw that guy in there. people can't, well, they might be able to tell by play style, but at first they're going to look and say, oh, that's Patrick Mahomes, but it's not really Patrick Mahomes. He just needed a couple plays off. That's who they're drafting.
Dylan Raiola is his name. And if you have not seen this cat, dude, it's legitimately weird. Don't get me wrong. I get it. And I acknowledge that as I rapidly approach 40 years old, I am getting to the point now where things don't make sense to me anymore. I don't understand the YouTube generation anymore. But I am going to say that the Dylan Raiola thing, as much as I try to have some, I don't, it's weird. I got it when he first showed up, and it's like, okay, he kind of looks like Mahomes. Dude, he does Patrick Mahomes pregame warmups. He does his actions in the huddle. He plays like him. He wears the headband like Mahomes does. He's got the same haircut Mahomes does. He's got the Mahomes soul patch going.
He's been to Chiefs games.
It's weird, dude.
Signed interviews. That's the guy. I don't think it's time for him to.
He's only a freshman.
Yeah.
Well, going into a sophomore year.
Yeah, so get another year. That's who you're bringing in.
Just bring in the next Mahomes painfully literally?
Yeah. I mean, you know, why not?
We'll see. I think Jackson Dart is a dude I'm intrigued to see where he lands up. But all these numbers say to me is one of two things. Either number one, Vegas is about to take a bath. Or number two, Tennessee is starting to make their intentions of trading down well known. And with only two quarterbacks that are considered top 10 worthy picks, somebody's going to overpay to go get that guy.
How much is Coach Prime in Dallas willing to offer?
That's my other question. Because if that's the case, again, if Tennessee puts it out there, they call the Dallas Cowboys and they go, hey, number one's up. But if you don't, nobody else, we're not trading anybody else. Dallas, you're the only team with access to this number one pick. If you give us a king's ransom, Shador's yours and therefore Deion's yours. If you don't, we are drafting Shador. You are not drafting him at number two or later. He's coming to us at one or he's going to you at one, but he's going somewhere at one as the leverage to get, I don't know, we'll see. But I do think this tells me that Tennessee is cashing out of that one spot. We'll see if that is what ends up happening. Let's take a break. We're back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. So last night, I was on BetMGM tonight with Brad Evans, Ryan Horvat, and executive producer Hayden S. Mario. And Brad and Ryan said, Rob Brown, you absolute stinking genius and knower of ball. You correctly predicted 5 of the 6 wild card round games. Covers, not wins, but covers. How do you do it? And I said, well, fellas, first off, effortlessly. But second off, I just happen to know ball. And they said, can you give us an upset pick in round number two? And I said, I'll give you 2 upset picks in round number two. And those 2 upset picks are the same 2 teams I had as upset picks in round number one. The LA Rams on the road at the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders with a shock the world upset win of the Detroit Lions. And our buddy Kane with a C, so that you know he's not the mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. Kane.
Who we interviewed.
Who we did.
Yeah. Kind of,
friend of the show.
We have interviewed so many people now. It's like, oh yeah, we did talk to him.
But did we say friend of the show Kane or friend of the show Glenn Jacobs? So I feel like we interviewed Glenn Jacobs, which is fine, which is still Kane. But he was not one of those guys that's like kind of crossing the line between kayfabe and real life. Like, he was very clearly Glenn Jacobs.
He's been retired for a while.
Sure. So yeah. I mean, we friend of the show, Glenn Jacobs.
Maybe closer.
A.K.A. Kane.
We'll go with maybe corporate Kane. Maybe closer to corporate Kane.
I mean, he wasn't even in the corporate.
He wasn't mean.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay.
I kind of was waiting for it. Anyway, the point here is Kane, not that one. Local Kane. Local Kane from Liberty, South Carolina, is the representative of Detroit Lion football here in the beautiful upstate of the Palmetto State. And he left us a message on the Ray Memorial Hotline, which you can do as well, by the way, by going to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, going to the Fan Upstate page and clicking on the Leave a Voice Message button. Leave an up to 60-second voice message that comes directly to the Great One and I. We can play them on the air. Kane did that, and he said this. He's right. Oh, he dropped a Saints suck on the Kane.
Wow. Wow. You were getting ready to compliment him. You didn't listen all the way through. Wow.
I mean, that just felt unnecessary. He held on for that. He's like, wait, hold. Attack! Saints suck.
No, it was a smart move on Kane's part because he knew you'd only listen to that far, so you thought the hesitation that was done, that he throws it in on the end. That's well done, Kane. Well done.
That hurts. That hurts my feelings.
And I agree with Kane. You're completely wrong. Detroit is not.
I thought you were
going to
say that the Saints suck. Ugh. Kane. Ugh. Texas said, great call about the Lions. Rob, stop taking the gummies before the show. Sir, it's too early in the morning for gummies before the show, bud. If I took gummies before the show, it'd just be...
You mean vitamins? Gummy vitamins?
I do take like, my... I am
like
a...
Preflinstone?
I am now a daily multivitamin guy.
Of course you are.
Yeah, I'm a daily multivitamin. I know what you want me to say.
Do you take it with your cup of Metamucil?
No, I do not. I do take it. I take it before my morning fiber supplement, though.
So Metamucil is a, that's
oh, is that fiber?
Yeah, but it's you like put it in water and it's just,
yeah,
you drink
that's what
it.
I do. Yeah. I the routine is, I wake up, I take the shower, I pop out, I take my I put the robe on. I got the big cushy morning robe. I got two robes. I got a big cushy morning robe, and I've got a seductive silky nighttime robe. So I get up and I put the big plushy, warm, furry morning robe on. I moisturize. I pop in the two multivitamins, okay? I pop in the multivitamin, and then I go the night before. I take a water squirty bottle. I put my fiber in there. I shake it up real good. I put it in the fridge overnight. When I moisturize, I change, I take the multivitamins, I grab the water on the fridge out, and I chug my fiber supplement on the way in.
So I was a little concerned when you said squirty bottle. I was thinking you sprayed your fiber on your face.
No.
Okay.
That's where the lotion goes.
Okay. All right.
That's what the moisturizer's for.
Okay. All right.
No gummies before the show, or else you'd all be listening to me snore through it.
Does the moisturizer make you S-A-W-F-T?
So it does. It makes me silky smooth and soft. I'll still whoop some ass, but I'm smooth when I do it, bud. Listen, you can say what you want, so I am not going to be rocking the crow's feet when I hit my 40s.
You will.
I mean, unless
you get some Botox or some plastic surgery, I mean, you know.
I am going to be one sexy son of a...
train? Horn?
I hit the wrong button.
Okay.
Yeah, I hit the wrong button. I know what you want.
Not a sign of age.
No.
Just an accident.
Yes, correct. I just pushed the wrong button. Anyway, point here is I'm going to say I am out there on a limb with this call. But I am also going to say, because Kane said we've exposed every quarterback that we've played so far. Hold your horses, Cowboy. Hold your horses. Let's go look at the second half schedule for the Detroit Lions. Who, so that we're clear, I am a big fan of. Okay?
I don't know. In the sports context, calling someone a Cowboy is kind of a diss, so you probably shouldn't do that.
He ended it with a 3-second dead silence and then said, Saints suck, for no reason. No reason. So, personal attack, no reason.
So you got, and you're mad because you got.
I love Kane, just so we're clear. Kane's absolutely Armada P1.
He also took advantage of something that everyone out there can also take advantage of.
The Ray Memorial Hotline, available on the Audacy app. Go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on the Send a Voice Message button. And if it's good enough, we'll play it on the air. So, Let's take a look at what the Detroit Lions did down the stretch. Okay, back half of the season. You beat the Texans 26-23. Turns out, Texans, good team. Not great team, good team. You beat the Jags 52-6. The Jags might be the worst team in the NFL. You beat the Colts 24-6. They're down there with them. You beat the Bears 23-20. That's a three-point game. You beat the Packers 34-31. Three-point game, and you let the Packers score 31. You lost to the Bills 48-42. You let them put up 48. You beat the Bears at Chicago 34-17. You beat the 49ers, who at this point have lost everybody 40-34. You let the 49ers backups put up 34. I think you're hanging a lot of momentum, justifiably so, on knocking down a second-tier, at best, quarterback in Sam Darnold, 31-9.
All right, you got me a little concerned about my confidence in Detroit by how many points they're allowing other teams, especially bad teams. That's not good.
Correct. Let me ask you right now, what offense would you rather have today, right now? The Commanders or the Bears?
Well, I've only seen the Commanders play once, but it was pretty good. So, yeah.
That's why I'm going to lean on or the Bears.
Okay.
The answer is not or the Bears. You gave up 21 by field goal. Which offense would you rather have right now, the Packers or the Commanders? I'll answer for you, the Commanders. Okay? You let the Packers put up 31. I'd rather have the Bills offense, but that's because of Josh Allen. You let them hang 48 on the board.
Where's the game at?
That game was in Detroit.
Okay.
They came into your crib and put up 48.
That's more impressive.
Yeah.
If it was at
not outdoors in the cold.
Yeah, not cold. I'm talking about refs.
72 and sunny in Detroit, Michigan.
Although refs do travel, but still, yeah.
By the way, inside the teams, I went and looked this up because I'm a vindictive, petty son of a gun. The Bills are not even inside the top 10 teams of opponent penalties visiting, right? So when teams come to Buffalo, they're not even. You know who is? Kansas City. Third highest rate of opponent penalties called against at home.
Yeah, during those games, how many penalties did Kansas City get?
Kansas City's opponents commit an average of 6.8 penalties per game.
And how many did Kansas City commit during those games?
Not 6.8.
Okay, so you didn't look at that part. So you
don't
only
need
looked,
to. That wasn't. No, it is important. It is
if,
not.
If Kansas argument, City got twice as many penalties against them than the opponent, then it is relevant.
Okay, I'll find that too. Just because, again, I'm vindictive petty. This is about the Lions. This isn't about you. Okay?
You're the one that went at me.
You gave up 17 to the Bears. You gave up 34 to the backups of the 49ers. Yes, you kept the Vikings tonight. But again, I think you also exposed Sam Darnold, which good for you. Right now, Lonzo, you've seen one, two games maybe. I'm going to give you right now, Patrick Mahomes can't go in these playoffs. You get to pick any quarterback that you want to lead your team to the Super Bowl this year. You want Jaden Daniels or Sam Darnold?
Why do I only get those two choices?
Because I have to make a point, and that's the easiest way to do it. Well, Roger calls and goes, you can have Sam Darnold or Jaden Daniels.
What? On the Chiefs team?
Yeah.
On
any team, just your team.
Sam Darnold has the most experience, so I'll probably go with him.
At what? He's been to one playoff game, and he got his ass kicked. Experience
from
at what?
From what I can tell, he's very coachable.
For the
other, the other guy, I don't know. I don't know about Jaden.
What do you mean? He has more playoff wins than Sam Darnold. Officially now has more playoff wins than Sam Darnold does. Just so we're clear on that. So if winning means everything to a quarterback, as you claim it does, Jaden Daniels has more playoff wins than Sam Darnold.
And a lot of other quarterbacks.
Including
your quarterback, probably. I don't know. How many does Carr have?
I don't know or care.
No, well, you should.
I know how many he's not going to get moving forward, which is any, ever, at all, again.
Depends on what coach you get.
The point here is, if you really look at what Detroit is, a very good football team, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. And you really look at what Washington are, Washington's the type of team that is built to give hail to the Detroit Lions. I'm not saying it is going to be an upset. I'm saying it is one of the two most likely upsets.
You just said you on national radio you picked them as upsets.
I was asked to give list of potential upsets. Absolutely, that is one of them. Absolutely, that
so
is
you
one
did.
Of them.
You are saying that.
I'm not guaranteeing it.
Oh,
I'm saying it's a very. Okay. It is a probability to me. I'm not guarantee. I don't guarantee anything except that you're all going to be impressed by Lonzo Sports Flash.
I guarantee kneecaps will be bitten in this game. Look out, Washington. Clemson football has made the hiring of defensive coordinator Tom Allen official. The former Indiana head coach spent last season as the DC at Penn State, where his team ranked in the top 10 in rushing defense and scoring defense and led the Nittany Lions, it's really hard to say, to the college football semifinals. Dabo Swinney said in a press release that Allen is a great football coach and a great leader of men, and said Allen was highly recommended. We'll see if he can stop those mighty Gamecocks. I don't know. I don't think so. The Clemson men's basketball team earned their 14th win with a 70-59 win over Georgia Tech last night. The Tigers were led by Jaden Zachary's 21 points, 6 boards, and 3 steals. Tigers had only 2 points off the bench in the win. Tune in tonight, 6:30, as Furman Paladins take on the East Tennessee State Buccaneers. Furman versus ETSU, right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan, Upstate.